All right, welcome back to the show. Joining me now, good God, this guy has more jobs than anybody. He's the cause of all the unemployment in the country because he's hogging them. He's a syndicated columnist. He's the National Review Online editor-at-large, a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, and the author of two big bestsellers, the newest of which, The Tyranny of Clichés, is available now in paperback. Go buy it in a real bookstore if they still exist or on Amazon. His name is Jonah Goldberg. Welcome to the show, Jonah.
Hey, man. It's great to be here.
So what we're seeing up on the Hill today, Lois Lerner comes in. She's done nothing wrong, but she pleads the Fifth Amendment. And in the course of pleading the Fifth Amendment, she gives an opening statement that says, basically, I've done nothing wrong, I shouldn't be here, and now I'm not going to answer any questions. She's not allowed to do that, technically. You can't give your statement and then walk out the door. You either plead the Fifth right from the start. I remember this from various hearings in the past. You either plead the Fifth right from the start and walk out the door, or you answer questions if you give a statement. Have you seen anything like this before? I mean, ISA was very, very gentle with her, even though he was harsh rhetorically. He let her go.
Yeah, I thought it was a very strange scene, and that's my recollection as well. And moreover, you should be really careful to make sure that everything you say in your prepared statements is in fact absolutely true, because if she in fact did anything wrong now, she just lied to Congress.
Right.
And under oath, you know, which is perjury. And so I thought it was strange. I thought ISA should have been decorous, but made her stay in the hearing room and just make her sit there like a potted palm. You know, I joked on Twitter that someone should just give her a Rubik's Cube. That's a great visual of having her sit there during these hearings, just, you know, fiddling around for a while. But why they let her go, you know, I think he's trying to, you know, ISA is actually a pretty serious good government guy, and he's a pretty decent guy, and the left always wants to turn him into Dan Burton and some sort of inquisitor partisan hack, and he's just not that. And sometimes I think that he's hoping that he will get more goodwill from the press and from Democrats than he ever actually does.
Yeah, well, my representative, Elijah Cummings, I'm sure will be forthcoming with the goodwill. Yeah, right. No, in the past, we've seen people like everybody's seen the Oliver North tapes from the Iran Contra hearing, where he was forced to sit there for hours. Every member got to ask their questions, and he just kept on repeating at the advice of counsel, I respectfully refuse to answer these questions. So, yeah, you're right. In that sense, ISA should be praised, but we both know that's not forthcoming. In a world, I want to talk to you about what Brad Woodhouse on Twitter, he's the Democratic National Committee spokesman, tweeted out. Because the GOP has requested some information from the IRS through the Freedom of Information Act. And what Woodhouse tweeted out today is, so the GOP has FOIA'd the IRS. How original and political. So much for bipartisan inquiry. Typical GOP overreach. And you blogged about that at the corner on National Review. What – I'll let you comment on it because I still – I don't know that I could do it without swearing. And it's just a bizarre tweet.
Yeah, no. And the fact that it comes from the guy basically trying to set the messaging for the Democratic Party – makes it even more unfathomable. It's kind of like, I can't remember, which of the Adam Sandler movies was it where the judge says, sir, everything you just said has made everyone in this room dumber for hearing it. you know, it is so weird. Like, first of all, the standard by which we do fact-finding is now it has to be original. Like, you know, you have to, like, really come up with a new kind of never-before-seen method of getting the facts.
Maybe if we had blimp skydived somebody into the IRS to request the information, it would have been forthcoming?
Yeah, I mean, maybe if we just used interpretive dance instead of a FOIA request. I mean, and the idea seems to be that it's outrageous to use FOIA because it's not a bipartisan effort to get the facts, and therefore, although my sense is the Democrats can sign the FOIA request forms, too.
Right.
And therefore, it's partisan. I mean, it's just one of these things that it makes no sense. It's just a lot of loud noise that Democrats hope will be parroted by people in the press and elsewhere as if it were a serious thing. I cannot get my head completely around the logic of the thing because all of the complaints don't support the argument, and it's sort of like a Mobius strip of stupidity. But it's just a very strange thing, and it just shows you what a mess these guys are in. I mean, I would not surprise me if the guys over the DNC, the janitors, are taking out, you know, garbage bags full of empty bottles every morning. it's not a fun week for these guys, or for a fun month, for that matter.
It would explain quite a bit. But thus far, what is your assessment of how the media has taken this IRS story? They've reported it. They have to. It's too big that they can't ignore it. But there are many people, as Recline at the Washington Post comes to mind, and everybody at MSNBC comes to mind, even though that turns my stomach a little bit, that, you know, they have to report on this. They have to acknowledge it, but they are less outraged than they would be, say, if we took a terrorist off the battlefield a few years ago and didn't Mirandize him right away. These are American citizens who did nothing wrong, aren't even accused of doing anything wrong, being treated worse than many battlefield Al-Qaeda captures.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's not surprising is that the thing they care about most is the media story, because you can always be sure that the Washington Press Corps will consider any story about the Washington Press Corps to be the most important story out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the IRS thing, part of the problem is a lot of these guys are guilty. I mean, they're just simply guilty of being part of the climate that made the IRS do this in the first place. People forget that after the 2010 elections, or around the time of the 2010 elections, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, all the journalists or types like Ezra Klein and all the rest fed this narrative that the Tea Parties were like the Oklahoma City bombers, that they were dangerous and scary, and what they were trying to do was illegitimate and contrary to the best ideals of the country, and they were all part of that narrative. They splashed on the front pages of all the newspapers. MSNBC was a continuous loop of this nonsense, and now they're shocked to find out that some of their viewers who work for the IRS agreed with them or were persuaded by it. And they deserve, you know, I mean, look, I mean, if the IRS went after black groups after a president of the United States was constantly demonizing and civil rights organizations and saying terrible things about minorities, people would say immediately that the president of the United States has created a climate of racism and discrimination and bigotry, and the government, even if it can't prove direct order or anything, the agencies of the government are following his lead. We saw that argument in spades when it came about when the Abu Ghraib thing happened. Everyone just sort of skipped connecting the dots and just went right to the conclusion that George Bush and Don Rumsfeld ordered the abuse of those prisoners at Abu Ghraib, which simply wasn't true. And whenever someone said there's no proof that Bush knew anything about it or had anything to do with it, the immediate response back was always, he set the tone, he set the climate, he's responsible, the fish rots from the head down, blah, 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 blah. Well, we're in exactly the same situation when it comes to the IRS story, but the press just doesn't want to hear it because they would be implicating themselves in the process.
Well, in the IRS story, we have media reports of the White House counsel, Catherine Ruemmler, and the chief of staff knowing about this, knowing that this was coming down the pike, and not telling the president of the United States. Now, that is either laughably untrue or gross misconduct on their part, isn't it?
Yeah, at the minimum threshold level, it proves that they've been lying. I mean, they were now in the fifth or sixth version of events about what Obama knew and when he knew it, and what the White House knew and when they knew it. The funny thing is, I had this column up today about how the problem for Obama, the reason why he's really caught in a funny bind here, is that basically any defense he can offer, other than, you know, pleading guilty to a crime or something, requires undermining the entire rationale of his presidency. Either he's got to say, you know, he's been going around saying for 5 years, the government is us, we're the government. The idea of thinking of the government as this alien, separate, scary thing is ludicrous. And then the second the IRS goes rogue, he has to treat it as if it's like this backwater in outer Siberia. And it sort of beclowns him on this idea that the government simply is a reflection of all of our hopes and dreams. Or the other thing he's been saying for 5 years is that he's a genius and he's brilliant,
right,
and he knows more than all the policy people who work for him, and that he's a master manager and all of the rest. And That's why he needed to be elected twice, because he knows how to run government, and there's nothing he can't do with the support of the American people behind him, blah, 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 blah. And it turns out it's a Keystone Cops operation, and he can't run the government very well. And you saw David Axelrod immediately when the IRS story broke, going out on MSNBC saying, you know, you can't really blame the president of the United States. You know, the government is just so vast, he can't know everything. And so which is it? Is he sort of this master expert leader and manager who can use government to do everything that we want it to do, and that that people are fools for fearing tyranny? Or is, in fact, the government too big, and he doesn't know what's going on, and he's in the dark, and he's not a very good manager?
All right, Jonah, we got to take a break right here. I want to ask you to stick around, because I want to continue this conversation on the other side. But right now, it is that time. It is time for a check of traffic.